Good evening, everybody. I was listening here backstage to the tongue and the interpretation, and it's just amazing how the Lord, through a service like this, speaks through this prophetic kind of word, as you heard, even through the guy who prepared for the offering, and just lots of things that are happening here. And what C.S. was saying, just to sum up what was said in the word, was that God wants us to live in resurrection life, right? Did you hear that? And some of you went, okay, yeah, duh, what does that mean? And tonight I trust that from the word that the Lord gave to me to prepare for tonight, that it'll help us and give us nuts and bolts to put that together so we can have an understanding, okay, of what that means and how can we live in that resurrection life. So tonight I'm calling my sermon, The Storm. It might sound, oh, what is this? But you'll understand in a moment. You know, when we are a family, whether we are at home or whether we are a church family, we really want you to feel at home here and become part of this family. We want to look after you. We want to, as Andreet was saying, we want to disciple you. We really want to help you to grow up here so that by the time you leave, as I said last week, by the time you leave, you will be confident that you know that you know that you know, confident and grown up and mature, living in that resurrection life. Okay, and the sooner the better. It all depends on you, how quickly you get into this place of maturity. But to illustrate that whole process that God wants to bring us into, the Lord gave me a vision of a storm. And as I just had the vision of this storm and this whole sort of scenario of inside the storm and outside the storm and on top of the storm and stuff. I didn't quite know what the Lord was saying. And on Thursday, I waited on the Lord, and he gave me the message for you guys tonight and another message for the people this morning. And as I was finished, as I wrote the topic, the storm, on Thursday, can you remember what happened on Thursday? 4:15. I remember the time because Renata just came to pick up Matthew for gymnastics. This massive storm broke loose, and it felt like it was just all over the house, and I looked at the outside my window where I was working, and it was just such a nice confirmation. Now, all these little things, you know, we want you to become a part of just experiencing God in his awesome ways in our everyday lives. He just shows himself to us in such an amazing way. So I want to start off by telling you about this vision, because everything that I'm going to share tonight really is explained by this picture I want you to see with me. And I trust that when I share it, that you will see it with me. So a storm, you know, you get different names for different kinds of storms. It's sort of something in between a hurricane and a, what is the other? There's a cyclone, there's a hurricane. What's the other one that does this? A tornado, or sometimes called a twister, hey? Right. It's like I saw this twister going through. Have you seen, who has seen something like that on CNN or on National Geographic or some movies that they made where they storm chasers, you know, and that kind of a thing where they try to sort of find out what's going on there in the middle of the storm, or they try to find out information about the storm so they can warn the people, etc. Now, with a tornado, you can't really warn the people too long in advance. With a hurricane, you can, because a hurricane is a thing that builds up over days, over the sea usually. It starts over the sea, and then it starts doing landfall. And if you're in the land there, it really hits you like we see on the news. Some of you, what do you watch news? Please, guys, you must not just live in your little Marty bubble, eh? You must watch the news. I know what it feels like. I was there many moons ago. It feels like the other day. But I remember I didn't have a clue what's going on around me in the world. But don't be so clueless, okay? Watch your TV, put it on CNN or whatever, Sky News, Al Jazeera, whatever you want to, and find out what's going on in the world. We live in interesting times. But in any case, if you knew what's going on in the world, there's storms, hurricanes, cyclones everywhere, and everything's wet. People, every morning I say to God when I get out of my bed, I say, thank you, God, that I get onto a dry floor. Because I can't imagine what it must feel like to have all your stuff floating around you. You just can't live normally. And so, anyway. So, Sometimes you see these pictures of this twister moving through like maybe occupied place like a town or whatever, and in its wake it just leaves what? Destruction. Absolute destruction. And what was isn't anymore. Because what the thing does, actually a tornado is the thing that forms on land. A hurricane forms over the sea, but a tornado forms on land. And sometimes sort of when the two get mixed up, they call it a cyclone. those of you who study these things, I trust that my geography is right. But in any case, even if it's not, just picture for yourself this. Let's call it a hurricane. There's the outside of it, that's the destructive part that in the case of a tornado will suck up everything because of the suction sort of power, and you will see cows, houses, you, everything flying. Okay, that's why, fortunately, we don't have that kind of a stuff happening here in South Africa. We're very lucky. But in America, they have bunkers under their houses. When they see that there's something like that coming, they know that if I don't want to be part of the cows and the houses flying, I better get down there. And they hide down there. And so there's this picture of this hurricane, and then in the middle of that hurricane, or whatever, tornado, what is there in the middle of it? The eye. They call it the eye of the storm. Inside the eye, you don't feel a thing. It's completely peaceful. The cows are flying around you in the houses and stuff. And if you could put yourself right in the middle of the eye, you would see the stuff, but it won't touch you. Okay? Then there's a third place. I don't know if you put that whole thing up. You can put up that first slide. There's a third place that you can also be positioned, and that's above the hurricane or above the storm. Okay? That's usually where eagles fly. And then you can sort of have a bird's eye view of the storm from the top. And some of you have seen sort of pictures. I'll show you one just now of a picture of a hurricane from the top. You see it on the weather and stuff. You see this thing that goes like this, right? Moving over the West Indies or whatever. So, the Lord showed me that we can, you know, we have storms in life, right? Who hasn't got a storm in life? We can either be in this wind flying about with the cows, okay? Or we can find ourselves in the eye of the storm. Or we can be above the storm, okay, where we watch this whole lot and has no effect on us, actually looks quite pretty. Because now you're above the clouds and you can see it, the clouds look beautiful. And then you just see this hole sort of there somewhere. That is the place where God wants us to come to ultimately, but I'll take you sort of through the steps first to see how can we get there? How can we get to that place of resurrection life that it was called tonight? In the hurricane, in the eye of the hurricane, or above the hurricane. Depending on where you are is going to decide for you how you're going to react to life and everything that life brings you, okay? For you students, how are you going to respond to your classes, to your roommate, to the people who are in your cell group? For us who are older, with our family members, with people in the church, whatever relationships we have. Family is always about relationship. Who knows that? And relationships sometimes full of challenges, right? It's not always just smooth. And there's also a relationship, our main relationship with God, which sometimes is also not so smooth, which is also sometimes questions and frustrations and stuff. And so depending on where we are in this storm is going to decide how we're going to respond to life. And the way we respond to life will come out in our behavior toward one another. Okay, it will always affect our relationships. And so we're going to see tonight, let's just look at a picture of a hurricane sort of cyclone thing from the outside. Does that look scary? When you see a thing like that in America, you run for that bunker. Okay, can you see the circular sort of form of this thing? That's a huge twister. It's going to mess up a huge part of the countryside. And if it hits a town, I'm sorry for you. Okay? That's what it looks like from the outside. Some people in this world, most people in this world, find themselves in a place of that kind of destruction, disaster, frustration, panic, confusion. If you are in that thing and you are floating around, you've been caught up by the storm, it sucked you up, and you are in that thing, would you say that you're in a place of peace?
No.
You are confused. You don't know the answer. Some people just go into depression because of that confusion. Some people just feel guilty. Some people just feel they don't know what am I doing here? Where am I going? You know? And sometimes the questions just become too much, and there's just this lack of stability, knowing where can I just find rest? Where can I just find peace? Peace with, I don't even know what kind of peace, but I'm just looking for something to hold on to that I can just get out of the storm. And then what we typically do, and what I've done in my life before I got to know the Lord, is, you know, you grab on things. You grab on things that you hope is going to give you acceptance with people. Or is going to, you do your studies because that's going to give you a good job. Or you grab onto other flying objects that are just part of the storm. Maybe you try different religions, you know. Maybe you try a little bit of Eastern religion, or maybe you try a little bit of this, or maybe you just decide, chuck this. I like secular humanism. I'm sharing about that at Bible school on Tuesday night. I'm continuing this coming Tuesday night again. And you grab and you grab and you grab, but those things are also floating. So they don't bring you peace. You just float with them and you're grabbing the wind, really. Never mind. Even if it is a door, it doesn't help. The door's not going to open up because it's also floating. You know? The cow's leg is not going to help you because he's also floating. And so many of you can identify with that place. And some of you can maybe identify with that place tonight. You're in that place. You really want answers. People talk about God and a relationship with God. And you actually know. Like, I actually only clicked at the end of my final year at varsity. I've been going to church all my life. My dad was a doorman and everything. But I knew on the inside I had this. I knew I was in the place of the storm. I didn't have stability. I didn't have peace with God. I wasn't sure that if I die tonight that I'm going to heaven. I didn't have that confidence. Although I'd been going to church forever, and I'd responded to altar calls as well, you know, because I was petrified of hell. So, I mean, I did all that. Came forward, said the sinner's prayer, everything. But I knew that I didn't have a relationship with God. Unfortunately, in my day, there was nothing like discipleship, like you heard that word tonight. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. You know, what is discipleship? But where I grew up in the church where I grew up, they didn't take care of me spiritually. I didn't know how to connect with God, how to make my way in this world with God, and to come to that place where some of my questions can get answered, and where I can come to a place of authority, wow, where I can speak to the devil and say, spirit of fear, get out, and it would go. Do you know how nice that is? I did that once. I was watching a movie. A scary movie. When Fred, for those of you who don't know, Fred is the senior pastor of the church and he's my husband. Fred doesn't like me watching movies like this. So when he was gone, now this is in the days when I was not so obedient yet. Okay. So he went out and the kids were sleeping. They were still very little. They're all grown up now. And I watched this movie, Dead Man Walking. Has anybody seen that? A few of you. Your generation don't even know what I'm talking about. Any case, it's Sean Penn plays this guy who's on death row. And what is that lady with the pop-out eyes? Sarandon. Susan Sarandon. She's got lovely eyes. Sorry, Susan. Anyway. But she's the nun who actually wants to tell him about Jesus before he dies. You see, so it's this whole conversation. But now in the whole movie, I must say that was the excuse that I had to watch it, but I knew it was going to be scary. It's all about a murder. This guy had murdered somebody. And through the movie, from time to time, they sort of show you snippets of this gory murder. But right at the end of the movie, when the guy's now being, you know, he's at the end of death row and they're going to now execute him, then vividly he remembers the whole murder, and they put this murder on the screen for us to see. And so the music goes something like, sorry, Matthew, I know you're embarrassed with your mother. But in any case, so the music is there and the murder scene is there and everything's working together. By the time I press, in those days you didn't have a remote, you press the button of the TV and I was going to go to sleep. It was like, you know, and I got into bed and I couldn't sleep. Every sound that I heard, I was sure somebody was going to come and kill me. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Okay. I'm impressed with you guys that you also put up your hands. Because I saw lots of girls putting up their hands, and I saw some men. I'm brave enough to say that they're also sometimes scared. But in any case, so there I'm lying in my bed. And I'm petrified. I can't move, and I know I'm not going to sleep. I know it, because I'm too scared. Then I remember, hey, this is terrible, because I'm not a scared person. And I remembered, but I can take authority over this thing because it's like a thick thing here with me. So I go like this. Spirit of fear. In the name of Jesus, go. Because, you know, you can't speak out loud when you're scared, right? You want to call on the name of Jesus, you go. And you can't get it out of your mouth. And so this is sort of where I'm at, and I'm saying this thing. And then I notice something. It's like there's a release. Then I realize, it actually worked. And then I got out of the bed and I went, spirit of fear, in the name of Jesus, go out. And then I got brave. Then I marched down the corridor and I said, out, 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 out my house. House, in the name of Jesus, out. And I got back into bed and it was gone. I wasn't scared anymore at all. So I'm lying there, and you know, I'm a cynic, so I'm thinking, because it's not the first time I actually did something like that, I'm thinking it can't be. So I'm lying there and I'm trying to get scared and I can't. And I realized, my goodness, we can actually, there's actually a place of authority that we can have, the same as Jesus when he was resurrected, even when he was on earth, but where we can have the same authority that God has to speak and to decide what's going to bug you and what's not going to bug you. Do you know how nice that is? Because you can do that in your own life, and you can also pray for other people like that. You can take charge of stuff that you can see is bugging them, or is holding them captive or whatever, and you can actually stand in a place, in the same place where Jesus, he says that Jesus is sitting now, as we speak, he's sitting at the right-hand side of God the Father, from where he rules and he reigns, okay? The other part of God, the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit is with us now here on the earth. He poured out his Spirit, and it is his Spirit that leads us in the way that we should go on the earth. But Jesus is sitting in a place of incredible authority, and you know where we are? If we know the Lord, and you'll find out about this in Foundation 1, I'll be there also on Wednesday night to teach you about the Holy Spirit so that you can bring the whole thing together. Okay, because some of you are going to try and take authority over stuff and nothing's going to happen. Okay, you've got to get equipped for this business. And so that is what we're into, the business of helping you to get equipped so that you can also come to the place of authority. Because in Christ, when we come to that in Christ place, when we are in him, in heavenly places, seated with him in God right there, we can have the same authority that I was talking about now as God has in Christ, we can decide on the earth what goes and does not go. Do you like that idea? Okay, because God gave us authority. God wants to give us authority. All Christians don't have that kind of authority. Okay? But tonight, I trust that when I'm through here, that you'll understand the road to get to that place of authority. Okay, so we're going to look, we've looked at that first picture. And you know, when we are in the storm, God wants to come and rescue us out of the storm. He wants to take our hand and he wants to pull you out of that storm into the eye of the storm. He wants to give you, what would you experience in the eye of the storm? Peace. Okay? He wants to bring you to a place of absolute peace where you see all these things. You know you were there flying around aimlessly, but now you're in a place of peace and protection. And there's a psalm, there's a specific psalm that talks about that place of protection. Who knows what it is? Which psalm would it be? Where it talks about the secret place of the Most High. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Ah, it's getting better and better. Psalm 91. I'm going to read you the first part of Psalm 91. I want you to see something there. And describe to me, besides for peace, what is this whole first 10 verses saying? It's summed up in one word. We're going to read that together. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Only will your eyes look, right? In the storm, in the eye of the storm, you can see the destruction around you. And you will see the reward of the wicked, all this destruction. Now watch. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. When you are in the eye of the storm and you remain there, all of that stuff will happen. You'll see it. But it cannot mess with your peace. And so now, in this thing, give me that one word that it describes there. What does that whole passage describe there? A place of, besides for peace, another P? Protection. Can you see? It's a protection from all the wild things that are happening around you. You can be in the storm, but you can be protected. Okay? And that's where God wants all of you to get to a place of protection. Just show me that picture of the eye of the storm. It's just before that that scripture. I'll give you an eye. This is sort of, I don't know how they got something in down into the eye. Do you get an idea of it? You can see sort of there's light there. If you look up through this hole, you are in the storm. You can see the storm around you. There's now no cows flying there in this particular storm. I should have drawn some in for you. But you are in a place of peace. And when you look up, you see this light. Okay? Right, I just want you to keep sort of that in your mind. But there's another scripture besides Psalm 91 that describes a place of protection where God wants to bring you to. It also has to do with your growing up. Okay? There's a scripture in Ezekiel that talks about God walking past a baby that's just been born, that's been chucked there. The baby is lying there still in its blood. Nobody's looking after it. And then he describes how he comes and he walks by this baby. And then what is he going to do with this baby? And we know that the context at where he's writing, he's talking about the baby is Israel. But obviously, we can also apply to the church and also to us as individuals, because this is what God's desire is to walk past us, to see us lying there, messed up by the storm, having been thrown around by the everything around us and our own confusions and stuff. And there we're lying, as it were, in our blood, helpless. And so it describes it. It says, and when I passed by you and I saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you in your blood, live. I made you thrive like a plant in the field, and you grew, matured, and became very, very beautiful. So what happens there is that God takes that baby and he does something for her. He describes it as a woman, and he grows her up. He brings her to a place of maturity. And we'll see just now how he describes it. You came to a place where you are mature and where you are, we're going to see in the next verses, what from there, okay? He prepared her, but when we read a little bit later on in that chapter, we're going to see what he prepares her for. But in that place, if you can just get yourself back into the eye of the storm, in this place, God wants to prepare you in a place of protection for something that's greater than just peace. Okay? Peace is not where Christianity ends. Christianity goes much more exciting than that. Okay? Christianity goes very, very exciting. And so God, but you cannot go beyond if you haven't been in the eye of the storm. Okay? So now in this, I'm going to focus a little bit about what happens in the eye of the storm. And what is he preparing us for there? I'm going to give you an inkling before I go on. He's preparing you because he actually wants you to get out of the storm and get to a bird's eye view above the storm. Can you just show us that picture quickly? You've seen those, eh? There's the eye of the storm in the middle. This is the storm. This is actually a hurricane. It's a bigger storm. It's not like... but it gives you an idea, okay? And there it looks actually beautiful where you are above the storm. Eagles fly there, as I said earlier, okay? They can sort of fly. They know when a storm is coming, and they take the currents. They love storms because a storm helps them to fly higher. Also, another lesson, you could work out a whole sermon around that, 3 sermons, in fact. Think about that, C.S. And God actually wants you because he's got that vantage point, you see. He understands how everything works in there, but he's got a vantage point where he can see everything from another angle where you are beyond peace. You're in another place. And we're going to look at that, what that is now, because now we're going to read on in Ezekiel 16. We read verse 6 and 7. Now I'm going to take you to verse 8. And we're going to see what is he preparing us for practically, spiritually, after he's grown us up to the place where we are now just come to a place of sort of maturity. He says, when I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed, your time was the time of love. Now, he's talking about a woman that's grown up to the place, and in the next verse, let me just read on. So I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. It's a naked girl, okay? Yes, I swore an oath to you to enter into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord God. Can you see it's a picture of marriage and a consummation of marriage, for those of you who know what that means. Now, in the next verse, it describes the beauty of that woman that I did not put up so that your imaginations don't run away with you and you don't listen to the rest of my sermon. So, we're just going to go on from verse 10. This is what God then does to this beautiful woman. He says, I clothed you in embroidered cloth and gave you sandals of badger skin. I clothed you with fine linen, covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments, put bracelets on your wrist and a chain on your neck. And I put a jewel in your nose, earrings in your ears, beautiful crown on your head. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver. Your clothing was of fine linen, silk, and embroidered cloth. You ate pastry of fine flour, honey, and oil. You were exceedingly beautiful and succeeded to royalty. Can you see? That is a place beyond this girl that was grown up. He brought her to a place of being grown up, but now he starts clothing her. And in the end, you see, he puts this crown on her head. And she's got all the clothes of a queen, God's queen, you see. And he calls her royalty. Remember, ruling and reigning with him in heavenly places where he sits on the right-hand side of the Father? That's where God wants us to come to a place of authority. Because when you're royalty, you are also, you do have authority that you don't have if you're not royalty, right? Chop off his head, right? And his heads get chopped off, okay? Where's the court jester? Come. If you're not funny enough, off with his head. That's what they used to do, King Henry. I'm glad I wasn't one of his wives. Henry, what's the eighth? I always get mixed up. Henry the eighth who had six wives or Henry the sixth who had eight wives? I always get mixed up. But in any case, if you didn't bring him a baby girl, your head also gets chopped off with her head. But in any case, that's not the kind of authority God wants us to have, obviously. He wants us to bring life and take care of the devil, not of other people. But in any case, so that is where God wants us to go to a place of, and we're going to look even, this is something that I never saw before, in Psalm 91. Psalm 91, we read verse 1 to 10, and it talked about, remember, it talked about protection, God's protection. But now read on. Get to verse 14, and you see there's also a progression. God doesn't stop with a protection. He goes on, and he says, because he is talking about us, has set his love upon me, he says, because we have set our love upon God, therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high. I will exalt him. That's what the original Greek means. I went to look it up. Because he has known my name. Can you see that? He has known my name. Now, the word knowing, when you read that word in this kind of context, knowing God, it's the same word that gets used in the Old Testament when it says Adam knew Eve and she conceived. It's a deep, intimate knowledge of God. It is you become one with God. It's love. God is love, right? And so you become one with his love. You understand it. You grasp it. It's like it permeates you. Like Henriette was saying, you know, she said like the Bible, it becomes part of you. His word, who he is, he becomes part of you. And you understand because you've grasped his unconditional love for you and it's become part of you. And so naturally, you are able to love others unconditionally too. Who of you are often very irritated and fed up with people? Okay? Don't lie. All of you. Put up your hand. Okay? God wants us to get to a place beyond that. Okay? Where you see the irritating stuff in goeders. But you can actually rise above that and see them from God's point of view and actually love them, even though those things are still there. Wouldn't that be nice if we can be a family like that, eh? Where we don't get, don't want that, you know. And you, because that's where people get rejected. We don't want anyone in this church rejected, feeling rejected, you know, just because you're a little bit odd. We must love odd. There's crazy people calling all over the place tonight. Don't want to go near them. Like crazy. But you know, there's odd personalities amongst us. Maybe some of you think I'm odd. I'm sure you do. Because you know, everybody doesn't like everybody else. But you know what? God wants us to like everybody, even me. See us. That's easy. And you know, when we're in that place, then all those things, you know, it's nice to actually live without irritation. You know, when you are just plain irritated, you can't go to sleep because you're just irritated and you go through your head with this, I'm going to say this, you know, if I see him again, this is what I'm going to tell him, you know, etc. If you can get above that and actually sleep peacefully, right? With all these things actually being there, but you're above that. You're where God's head and eye is at. And you can see this thing objectively. You can actually judge objectively instead of being so judgmental. Okay, that's where God wants us all to get to. Place of, see, I mentioned it last week, a place of overcoming. A place of overcoming. Okay, so let me get back to where am I now. Now, that's right. This is now the most important part. Depending on how you respond in the eye of the storm, right? You're not in the storm anymore. You called out to God in the storm. And tonight I'm going to give opportunity for some of you. You know you're in the storm. You haven't ever found peace with God. Okay? Hold your horses. I'm going to give you an opportunity tonight. You're going to make your peace with God. Okay? But now most of you have been rescued from that place. You're in your absolute devastation, helplessness, called out to God and said, God, please rescue me. That's all you need to do. That's all you need to do. You can just say to him, God, you know what? Up till now, I've been trying to help myself. I've been trying to figure out this messed up world, etc. But you know what? I give up. I look at myself and I myself am a mess. I just can't stop doing the wrong thing. And I feel dreadful about it. And I've already gotten over feeling dreadful about it. My conscience is already cut off. I just do these horrible things. I sit watching porn every night and I'm sick of it. I know it's wrong. But you know what? God wants to rescue you out of that state, that sorry state that you're in. And it's a matter of saying, oh God, please rescue me. Please just deliver me out of this storm. And then he pulls you into that place of the eye. And in that place of the eye where most of us are now, tonight, depending on how we respond there is going to decide whether we're going to go into a place of authority or not. Whether we're going to become royalty or not. Okay. We can see in the script, there's lots of scripture that says, to him who overcomes. Okay. Those who are led by the Spirit will be called sons of God, etc. Okay. Are you saved? We'll talk about all that stuff. Are you saved when you say to God, please rescue me? Yes, you are saved. Don't worry about that. But I'm talking about a progression of authority in the Lord so that you can, like Moses, throw down your staff, in a sense, and say to Pharaoh, let my people go. Remember last time I told you? You know, let my people go for those who were here. That is the place where God wants us to be, where we can say to all the spooks in our lives and all the things that keep us in bondage, you will let me go in the name of Jesus. Now you see Moses, God had called Moses because he'd come to a place of humility. God says he was the meekest man in all the earth. Actually, he writes it about himself. Had to be inspired. Moses wrote the first 5 books in the Bible. But in any case, God wants us to all come to a place where we have that kind of authority. So, I must finish. Some of you are already going. Okay. Okay, I was saying, depending on how you're going to respond. Okay, let me now go on. Now, you're in the eye of the storm, right? Most of you are in the eye of the storm. God wants you to grow up here. He wants you to grow up to the place where you're this beautiful woman. Proverbially speaking. Men, you must look like men. But God describes it. He always talks, when he talks about his church, he talks about the bride. You see, that's why he talks in female here. But he wants us all to come to this place where we are grown up so that he can, from that place, you can't put all of that stuff on a baby, right? You can't put a crown and nose rings and all of that stuff on a splattering baby in his blood. You've got to grow up to the place where you look like your potential royalty. Before God can then clothe you, am I right? And bring you to a place of royalty. So there you are, and you've got two choices. You can either die there of boredom, okay? You get Christians that are extremely bored. Oh, no, I don't want to be a Christian anymore. Oh, it's so boring. It's so boring. And you see, you sit there in the eye of the storm, and you see all these cows flying around, and the furniture flying around, and you're sitting there all bored, and you think, you know what? It actually looks more interesting being there, where the cows are flying and then sitting in this bored place. And some of you may have experienced Christianity like that, because you know, it's not, maybe you have, in the place wherever you come from, you haven't experienced any kind of disciple. You've never experienced life in the Lord, you know, life in Christian living. If you're here, you've got no excuse for not experiencing life. I'll get there. But you can either sit there bored and decide, oh, you know, yeah, I saw about the Bible school, I saw about the perspective on Wednesday night, etc. But you know what? I'll just come to church. I'll just check it out in my own time. And you know, you will sit at home bored when everybody goes to Bible school, when everybody goes to trance parties, etc., you know, and be thoroughly bored. And look at, I remember my son, my oldest son, he's not here tonight, he's in the Cape Town church tonight. So I can tell the story. You won't be embarrassed. When he was little, I did tell the story before. So if you heard it before, just go, oh, she's boring. But in any case, when he was little, he asked me when he was very little, he said to me, Mommy, are there earthquakes in heaven? Who remembers that story? Some of you. Are there earthquakes? He called earthquakes in those days. Are there earthquakes in heaven? I said, no, my darling. No, 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 no. You don't have to worry. It's peaceful in heaven. You know, there's no earthquakes in heaven. You don't have to worry about that. He sat quietly for a while. I said, Mommy, are there earthquakes in hell? I said, my darling, it's earthquakes everywhere. It is, you know, mountains being messed up. It's fire, brimstone. It is like crazy in that place. He sat quietly, said, lucky devil. Because to him, the idea of peaceful heaven was just hopelessly too boring, and I agree with him. And once you study the scriptures, you realize, you know, heaven's not going to be boring at all. I always had this picture, you know, you sit on a little cloud like David playing his harp going, hallelujah, you know. When if you really study the scriptures, you're going to see it's extremely exciting going to be. We're going to rule and reign. You know, there's a whole universe of stuff that we don't know what's going on out there. We're trying to see what's going on out there. But God says we're going to be ruling and reigning in the universe with him, you know. Ruling and reigning. That doesn't sound to me like. We're first going to kick the devil into hell. And then we're going to rule and reign with him. For the rest of eternity. Now, you know, guys, I'm looking forward to that. I'm realizing I'm 53. You know, my life's almost over. And so I've got something to look forward to. It doesn't stop here. It gets just more exciting. But you know what? God wants us to get beyond that place. But now, let me tell you the exciting bit. You can decide, in the eye of the storm, I'm going to be boring and be bored. You can. And then you know what you're going to do. You're going to get right back. You'll jump right back into the storm and fly around with the cows and stuff as well. You'll go right back to your old lifestyle. Or you'll decide, no, I know better. I'm not going to go into that. I'm not going to get into the world debate about, you know, is the Bible the truth ever? Has Jesus ever been living on the earth? Actually, I'm answering all those questions for you tomorrow night at Tuesday night at Bible school. And all these questions, you know, but I mean, actually, we do come from a little blob. It's been proven. And so we get into this world debate about, you know, the dangers of global warming. That's a hoax, by the way. The earth is getting colder. But in any case, have you seen the snow lately? Everywhere? In any case, you can go look up and you can find out. We'll talk to you about these things in our newsletter. Our newsletter is going to change. We're going to talk to you about all these phenomena and stuff that's going to get you interested in what's going on in your world so that you'll read the newspaper and watch the news. But in any case, so you can become part of this intellectual lot that, you know, the world debate, or you can even become part of the Christian debate, where you read books. And I just met an old friend of mine in the holidays, and I was so frustrated because now she's obviously desperately wanting to serve the Lord, but she's now reading all kinds of books about God and about the Lord. And she says, I'm not reading the Bible at the moment. The Bible is the only thing that's alive, by the way. You know, we can read books about the Bible, etc., but it's not the same thing. And there's nothing wrong with reading books about the Bible. But if you neglect the Bible, and she said, also said, well, you know, I'm also not going to church anymore. But she's so full of questions, and her faith is so shaky, and there's many Christians who go back to that place, you know, where they get part of the Christian debate, and they are just in that hurricane. They don't even know that they're dead. They're flying around there. They're spiritually dead, and they're grabbing on straws, and they don't understand why their faith is so poor. Why their relationship with God is so unattainable, really, because they talk about God's love and they're always talking about God and about that, but they don't know him. They don't know God. They don't know his love. They haven't become part of his love, knowing him, being inside of him, you see. And so they're also floating around. And God doesn't want us. Some Christians start off in the spirit and they end up right back in the flesh. In that whole debate. God doesn't want that to happen with you. Yeah, that's why we take our job to disciple you extremely seriously, as you have heard. You know? And we want you to take part in it so that you are not bored and don't get back into that rubbish. We focus on the Bible because it's the inspired word of God, and we want you to get excited about it, and we help you to learn about it without having to go reading from Genesis right through to the end without anybody helping you, because God actually places people in the church, I'll talk that in a minute, around you to help you to understand Scripture. Okay, I must go on. So, that place above the storm where God once says, let me just show you a scripture that will also describe to you before I go on. I'm almost done, I promise you. Almost done. James 1, verse 5 to 8 describes a person like that who goes back and decides that I'm going to get my wisdom from books and from other floating objects in the hurricane. Okay? And I'm going to work out my stuff myself. And these are Christians. Odd scripture. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask for God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and I will give it. It will be given to him. Ask of God, but let him ask in faith. But you see, many people's faith are already do it there in the storm, because they're not pursuing God anymore. They're pursuing everything around God, but not God himself. You see, and the church is part of God, right? Christ is the head, the church is the body. We are all part of God. That's why you've got to stay in the church. You can't float around. You've got to stay. The Bible says, do not neglect the fellowship of the saints. That's all. I'm a saint, by the way. We're all saints, and we know the Lord. Do not neglect the fellowship of yourselves together. He says, we must stay in that place, and in that place we will find wisdom. If we do not stay in that place, our faith will fail us, and we will ask God to do stuff for us, and it won't happen. And you know what happens? Your faith goes out the back door. Because you see, you're not in a place of royalty. You're not in a place. You're not even in the eye of the storm anymore. You've gone right back into the world. The Bible talks about that. It's unfortunate. You go back to your own vomit, the Bible says. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like, listen to the storm, like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. There are some Christians who don't receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Go look up double-minded in your book and see what God thinks about a double-minded man. I can't go into that now. He doesn't even respond to you if you're double-minded. And we want you to come to a place of absolute single-mindedness. This is the heart of God for us, absolute single-mindedness. So, to finish off with, God's design is for us to be restored and to be renewed while we're in the eye of the storm, for the purpose to take us higher above the storm. Show me that eagle quickly, that picture of the eagle. And then I'm going to read for you, just before that, Psalm 103, verse 4 to 5, who redeems your life from destruction, right? He just rescued you from destruction. And he wants to crown you, remember the crown, the royalty, with what? With loving kindness and tender mercies. That's your crown, is to understand the love of God, to have it part of you, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now show that picture of the eagle again. You see, God wants us to come to the place where we can soar above the storm like an eagle. We have a vantage point. It doesn't affect us. We can see in our relationships. We can judge justly. We can act instead of react in our emotions. You know, some of us get so caught up in our emotional experiences of things around us that we do huge damage in our relationship. You cross and now you flare out in your anger. And then it's a chamosh. Now, we don't want that in our family. We want us all to come to a place where we soar like an eagle and we act. Yes, there are going to be. We're going to upset each other. Believe me, family does that. But then we're going to deal with it in the right way, because we're going to see the whole situation from God's point of view. Do you know how amazing that is? Then you can act and you can know that you're not going to do any damage. It's actually going to help. It's actually going to help you and the person that you're having strife with. It's going to help you both to grow and to soar like an eagle. And you'll help each other instead of just getting irritated with each other down there. Okay, so that is where God wants us to be, is in that high place of overcoming. So first years. Just finally, let me finish. We here are in the business of growing you up fast. You know, my son was at a 21st last night. In our sort of society, you are mature, you are grown up when you're 21. You know that's rubbish in the Bible. Do you know where the Bible says you should be grown up at the age of 13? That's why we do with our 13-year-olds, we do a little sort of a Christian bar mitzvah thingy. Because we don't want them to have this teenage rubbish. You know, teenage nonsense is rubbish. There's no such thing in the Bible. There's you're a child and you're grown up. You're a child and then you're a young man. But you will not find the word teenager in the Bible. You can look for it, Generation X. You can look everywhere. You won't find it. Generation Y, I heard about Generation Y nowadays, with the pants is down there. Hey? Then you see the Y. We've gone beyond the Generation X. God wants you to grow up quickly. He doesn't want you to, you know, do you know Christians who are my age and older and are they not grown up? That's why Henry Hitz, those old whims on the farm, had to ask her, explain to us what happened in the Bible with Adam and Eve. They don't even know because nobody helped them to understand it, you know. And so God wants us to grow up quickly. You can grow up in the time that you're here. You can grow up to the place of royalty. You can grow up in months and in short years. And instead of, like the Israelites, who wanted to go back to Egypt because they said, the manna's boring, the manna's boring, the manna's boring, and they moan about their leadership and they moan about and they start making calves and stuff like that in the eye of the storm when God wants to grow them up and show him his goodness. They say, oh, but the flesh pots of Egypt, oh, but the flesh pots of Egypt, manna is boring. You know that they weren't supposed to be in the desert for 40 years. God wanted them out into the promised land where there's milk and honey and every possible nice thing in weeks. It's a couple of weeks' journey. But because they were, you know, they were going to now be bored with the manna. God had to wipe out that entire generation because they didn't get it. So don't get into a moan mode, okay? Get into the life of the church. So that you can get as soon as possible above the clouds so that you can be in a place of authority and royalty. I'm finishing off now. So first years, get into it. Get into it. Don't be bored. Ledigheid is die duivelse oorkussing. Okay, so we as leaders in Shofar, you'll see different people here on stage. You see Mina, you saw Sias last week, you saw Fred the previous week. Next week, I don't know who you're going to see. I don't know who's on next week. But you see different people at Bible school. You know what? We believe in giving you a balanced diet to grow you up. So there's a scripture, my last scripture, Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 15, that says he himself, this is Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Those are just other words for uncles and aunts. You've got lots of uncles and aunts and mommies and daddies. I'm one of the mommies. Lots of daddies around. We all, God has given us sort of different giftings. The one sort of is good with teaching. The other one is good with reading prophetic times. That is sort of my gifting. See us here. He is an evangelist. He looks at where can we go, what hole can we go and rescue people out of the storm. You see, where people are really in a storm. The people who are worst off in the storm, that's where you always gone for. The prisons and the trance parties and all these places. Let's just go to darkness so we can rescue these people. And he wants you to rescue him with him. But you know, if you're just a baby, you're probably going to get hurt there. So we want you to grow up quickly so that you can have authority when you come to those places. And you can speak to stuff because you're royalty. Okay, so, and there's teachers, there's pastors. Andries is a pastor. He's the guy in the black there at the back somewhere. Oh, that's, yeah, not the one standing. He's most certainly not a pastor. That's Rolf. Rolf, what are you? Andries is there in the back. He will pastor you to distraction. He'll come and visit you, make sure you're all right. Okay? He will listen to you when you break up with your boyfriend. And he'll feel terribly sick. You won't be able to sleep at night when you're going through a hard time. Now, God places all these people, and you'll hear different kinds of messages from here. Because, you see, you must have your vegetables, you must have your fruit, you must have your starch, and you must have your meat, and you must have a bit of pudding. That's, yes. Yes gives you the pudding. Okay, the nice bits. Because we want you to grow up, and look how we are wanting you to grow up. We want to equip you for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the, go on, where's the next slide? knowledge. And to the knowledge of the Son of God. Here we have it again. A knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect mature man, royalty, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. God wants you to grow up fast. Tossed to and fro in the hurricane. Carried away with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. And the Bible says, watch out, people. There's lots of trickery of men that are going to try and get you off the story. Off the real story. In the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. God wants us to grow up in love. Come to the place of overcoming. Let's stand tonight. I first just want to speak to Christians here. You know that God is calling you higher tonight. You are in the eye of the storm, and you know that God has grown you up here, but he wants you to go higher. He wants you to go beyond just being safe, just protected. He wants you to go beyond. But you know you're not there. You can see it in your relationships. You can see it on your irritation level, okay? In the place where you just don't have authority. You speak to demons and they don't go. You don't have authority over your own stuff in your own life. God wants to rescue you out of even the eye of the storm. He wants to take you to a higher place. And all that is needed for you to say is, God, rescue me. But this is what he says in that Psalm 91. In Psalm 91, the first part, when he talks about the protection, he says that to receive that protection from God, there's just this one choice, if you can maybe find that right in the beginning. There's one choice that you have to make. The choice is because, the next slide, because you have made, the next one, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, all the protection promises are there, okay? But he wants you to go beyond the place of protection because you've already made him your dwelling place. But now let's just go to Psalm 91, verse 14. Because you have set your love upon him. You know, when we fall in love, when we're young and we fall in love, do you know that you don't love that person yet? You don't love that person yet. You're going to now, you fall in love, there's an attraction. That's all that it is. And it makes your knees lame. It's an attraction. You don't know that person to be able to love him. God wants us to grow to a place. We will grow to a place where we will love him, where we can get married to him. Okay? Ultimately, he wants us to get married to him so he can put that crown on our heads. But when we start off with God, we get to know him. And then we love him. We learn to love him until we come to the place where we understand his unconditional, faithful love toward us. And then he says, when we come to that place, when all that we want to do in our lives is just to love him, we're just caught up with him. The other things don't matter so much. But our love, because I have set my love upon him, he wants to take me higher. And so this is for you tonight, a cry, God, take me to the place. Won't you reveal to me? Won't you take me to the place where the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. I want to see it, and I know I'm not seeing it. I want you to, just where you stand, just reach out to God. Let's close our eyes. Reach out to God. I'm not going to call you forward. I want you to reach out to God and say, God, you know what? I've been in this protective place. It's wonderful, and I've experienced your faithfulness. I've experienced, Lord, that you say that that you protect me. Things go wrong, but it doesn't affect me because I'm in a place of peace. I've been there. That's wonderful. But God, I want to go beyond now. I want to go beyond now. I pray that you will draw me into your love. I want to respond to that. I want to seek your face, not your hand. I want to seek your face. I want to come to that place of royalty where I will have authority, Lord. I pray that you will take me out of this place, out of the storm, and that you will take me higher. So that I'll be able to have wisdom, Lord, your kind of wisdom, not my own worked out wisdom, Lord. You know, my wisdom fails me. I want your wisdom, and you say that you will give me your wisdom, Lord, if I ask. I don't want to be double-minded anymore, Lord. I want to come to that place. Right, you can let your hands go. Go down. Now there's others of us, another group. Now I want you to come forward, okay? You know that you are in that storm. You are messed up. I talked about you earlier on today. And you want God to rescue you. And I said to you, it's as simple as saying, Jesus, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God, Jesus is in the saving business. He wants to just take your hand out of that storm. And we're going to, here, if you come forward, we're going to introduce you to the big rescuer. We can't rescue you. Jesus rescues you. I want you to come forward. And we're going to introduce you. And God is going to pull you into that place of safety, where you're going to experience peace. In that place, he's going to start growing you up. Okay? Become part of the church life in that place so that you sooner than later can get beyond, so that you can help others in the end, so that you can also help like these people are going to help you tonight. Another group that must come with them. You know you were in the eye of the storm. You experienced God's protection, but you know what? You neglected the fellowship of the saints. You neglected the scriptures. You started reading about it, and your mind started going a little bit astray, and your love for God and for the people of God is cold. It's lukewarm. God says if you are either hot or cold, but lukewarm is not so lekker, okay? You are full of doubt. You know you're in a scary place. Tonight the Lord wants you to be honest and just recognize it, because he wants to rescue you out of it again, take you back into the eye. But this time, you know that you're not going to waste your time in that eye. In that place of protection, you're going to now. Instead of saying, oh, next year I'll do the foundations. Oh, I will do it in 6 months, and you never get around to it. Some of you have already gone through all of that. But you decided by your own will to just neglect, and you went right back into the storm. God wants to pluck you out. Will you please just, if that is you, come forward quickly. Quickly, we want to pray for you. We want to get you right back into the eye of the storm. Come quickly, quickly. There's several of you that must come. Thanks. Come forward quickly. Is there anybody else? God wants to rescue you, and he wants to give you peace. If you've got no peace tonight, if you've got no peace, will the leaders also come forward quickly? You've got no peace. You've got no, you don't know that if you die tonight that you're going to go to heaven. You've got no confidence. Come forward quickly. Come forward quickly. We're wanting to pray with you. Anybody else? Come forward quickly, guys. This is your night. The beginning of an exciting journey. Gets better. Gets better all the time. Come forward. Come forward. Let's just sing that song, You're Beautiful Again. While we wait for, there's lots of people in the store. There's a war going on in some of your hearts. Shall I or shall I not? Shall I or shall I not? It's the devil wanting to keep you back. Don't fall for his tricks. You don't have to do anything. Christ gives you life without you deserving it. You don't have to fix your life first. He'll clean up your life. He'll give you other desires. It's the most amazing thing that happens. I couldn't stand reading the Bible. And then when he came and changed me, I couldn't get enough of it. It's like it came alive. It's a supernatural thing that happens when we introduce you to the rescuer. You will experience a peace that surpasses all understanding. There might be a storm around you, but you will experience peace. And you will know that you know that you know that you met God. See us. Will you lead them in a prayer, please?
Let's just pray together. Let's all pray together as if we come to God for the first time tonight. Amen. And you just be honest. You can pray something else if you want to. But let's just pray together before the facilitators pray for people. Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight, and I surrender all. I give you my life. Give you my heart. Rescue me from myself, from my circumstances, and my past tonight. And wash me clean, Lord. by your blood. From this moment on, I will live for you. Eternally, I will worship you. And I enter into relationship with the living God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's just give God a shout in this place.
Amen. Some people are going to take you just around the corner, and they're just going to pray with you for 2 minutes, okay? And then you can come back again and just join us when we just sing again a little bit. And for some of us, we just really have to settle this thing with God. Those of us tonight who know that we must just come back onto God's wavelength. Let's not walk here until we know, tonight, Lord, I've just connected with your wavelength again. Where you are standing, you don't have to sing with us, or you can sing with us. We're just going to sing that song again about Jesus, who's beautiful. And God wants to open your eyes. You know, you sing, some of you sing the song, God, Jesus, you're beautiful, but you have no clue what you're saying because you actually haven't seen his beauty. You haven't seen it, and God wants to reveal it to you. And as we sing it, say to him, God, I really want to see your beauty. I want to sing it from the heart. I want to see that you're beautiful, but I can't. And don't feel condemned about it or guilty about it. God wants to show it to you just because you ask. So let's sing that song. And while we sing, you just communicate with God. Okay. If you want to come forward and you also want prayer with somebody, please come forward as well and we will pray with you.